Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Max and the Sausage, Egg, and Cheese Biscuit, 2 for $4 deal.
Here's my opinion. I like the biscuit at Burger King. It's got that fresh baked smell. And your whole breakfast is in there. Eggs, cheese, sausage. And they're 2 for $4. You got it? Am I trending now?
Yeah, Max. Hashtag biscuit. Try a freshly baked sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. Now just 2 for $4 only at Burger King. This is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. At participating restaurants, limited time only.
What's up, everybody?
This is Tosh. And right now you're listening to the following recap show on the VRO. So today is pretty special, you guys. Today is pretty special. We're going to have Marco Ciega, who is a film, television, commercial, and music video director, best known to most fans for his work on hit TV television series such as Dexter, True Blood, The Vampire Diaries, and now the amazing The Following. So we're, like, very excited to have him on the show. Of course, we have the usual suspects, Lucia.
Hello.
Amy is running the switchboard, so we're ready to go. Is Marcos on the line? Amy?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was screening Marcos's call, and now you have him.
Okay, perfect. Hi, Marcos. How are you?
I'm good. Who's there?
This is Tosh.
And I'm Lucia.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Thank you for taking out your time on a Sunday to come on.
No worries. I'm not going to lie. I'm eating while I talk to you, so...
Well, cool. I just finished eating myself. I was like, let me get something to eat before I get on the show. So that's totally cool.
Love it.
Okay.
Now, did you say Tosh and Latia?
Yeah, Tosh and then Lucia. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a hard name. Italian.
No, not a hard name. I just want to make sure I heard it right.
Yeah, Lucia. Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you because we've been watching The Following since it premiered and doing the radio show and just loving all the crazy intensity.
I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah, and as the listeners know, you know, you've also worked with Kevin Williamson on The Vampire Diaries and as the director and co-executive producer on that show. And so I just wanted to know if you could talk to us a little bit about how this particular project developed and a little bit about the origins of The Following and your involvement in it.
Well, when I left The Vampire Diaries after... completely sort of after season two, and Kevin went on to do Secret Circle. So we were both away from that show, but we spoke all the time, and we were both doing different shows. And he said, you know, next year I want to do a new show. I have a new idea. It's something that I wrote as a feature film. So we kind of talked about it. He sent it to me, and the script was amazing. So he basically asked me to come do the show with him, and he sold it, and we went off and made it. It was, you know, it came out of our relationship, and the reality is he's had this thing sitting around for many, many years as a feature, and he just wanted to turn it into a television series.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely, it feels a little bit like every episode feels like kind of like a movie, and it deals with a lot of really heavy, intense themes and subject matter, and I know, you know, you've worked on premium cable shows as well with, like, things like True Blood and Dexter. But this is a network broadcast show on a 9 p.m. hour. Do you guys have to worry about being careful about the standards and practices? Or are there any examples of things that you or Kevin pitched that just was too over the top or you had to kind of go back to the drawing board because of the sort of medium that you're using right now?
No, I think the short answer is no, because we understand we're making a network show, and quite honestly, Fox has been incredibly supportive of the show we want to make. Certainly, there are guidelines we have to follow, and certain things we can't do on network TV, but we don't really temper the show. Kevin writes the show for the drama that he wants, and in executing it, when either if I'm directing or if I hire the directors, we talk about, you know, what are the things we can show. We don't really talk about what we can get away with. We just kind of want to tell the best possible story, and you know, and that's the extent of the discussion we have. And then we make the show, and when we edit it together, if there's something that feels like it's a little bit too much, Fox will let us know. But they've been really great. It's funny to hear people say that, you know, it's kind of like a cable show, or they, you know, we're pushing the envelope, because we're really not doing anything all that different as far as the process goes than the way we did it on Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't, you know, you're not showing too much gore or anything like that, but I have to say, we are terrified to leave our houses sometimes because of the show.
Look, then,
it really is scary. Like, you guys are doing an amazing job at just, like, you know, freaking us out.
Well, I think that's all, it says a lot about the audience, because you guys, you know, there's really not a whole lot going on, but I find that, you know, as soon as we turn off the lights and move slowly down the hallway and put some creepy music to it, everyone kind of thinks something really bad is going to happen.
I work night shift, so I'm, like, terrified sometimes when I leave. I work night shift, and as soon as the show's over, I'm, like, out the door, and I'm looking back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work now. So you guys are doing a great job of, like, freaking me out for sure.
Well, good.
Yeah, and probably part of the creepiness is this whole kind of conspiracy that's involved, that just anybody down the street could be, you know, working for Carol, right? And so that brings up sort of the feeling of not being able to trust any of the characters. And on that note, do you sort of, is that something you're going for? When we, given the cult aspect of The Following, are we supposed to not trust anybody when we see, is there going to be a temptation for some of these FBI agents or people we see as quote unquote good guys, turning or maybe being revealed as moles? Should we continue to be worried about that?
Well, I'm not even going to get close to giving you any spoilers, because that's sort of the fun of the show. But that's the whole conceit. That's the idea, is that you want to be able to watch and enjoy the ride and sort of second guess when you meet characters. Or I think that's, again, it's part of the fun of watching a show like this, is talking about it, saying, I wonder if that person is going to turn out this way, or I didn't see that coming. And because you didn't see it coming, now you're sort of wondering if the other person who you didn't think would be bad is bad. It's a fun way to tell a story, and I think it goes a long way in terms of keeping the audience engaged and having them talk about the show week in and week out. So I think if that's what you're feeling, that's what we're going for.
Very good.
Cool. So, Marcus, I have a question for you. Now, so far we're focusing on Joe Carroll, right? It's a serial killer and his followers. I know you're not going to give spoilers, but is there a possibility that he was once a follower, you know, because I was thinking about that. I was like, I know he kind of, you know, we're using Edgar Allan Poe as, like, the backdrop and everything like that, but I wondered if maybe there's someone that he is patterning himself off of. Is there a possibility for that?
No. I mean, that's not really a spoiler. That's not really the show. You know, the show is about, truly, I think it's about Ryan Hardy. You know, it's about our hero sort of coming back to life and finding himself again. At its core, that's what it is. But that Hardy Carol story is our spine.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Ryan Hardy, Bacon and Purifoy are, like, brilliant in their roles. I thank you so much for casting them. Were they first choice? Did you and Kevin, you guys were like, you know, we have to get Kevin Bacon, we have to get Purifoy? Was there, like, a rigorous audition process and all these actors?
No, they're really, you know, there really wasn't. When we did Vampire Diaries, casting Stefan and Damon took forever. And we auditioned tons of people, and we did screen tests with different actors. And this was a very different experience. We we heard immediately that Kevin had read the script, Kevin Bacon, and really loved it. But we hadn't heard which role he wanted to play. But we knew immediately that, you know, we couldn't pass an opportunity for Kevin to be our hero. And we had started to compile a list of actors thinking that, you know, before we knew Kevin was available, thinking that we'd be searching. And James Purefoy was at the top of that list. So we got very lucky. Kevin was a no-brainer. And then James was a no-brainer. And they both wanted to do it. They wanted to do it together. And the only thing they did was they did do a chemistry read for us, which was fantastic. I mean, pretty much the scene at the end of the pilot when they're sitting across from each other is what they did for us in the chemistry read. And you see how strong it is in and impactful it is on screen. And it was that much, that strong or even more so in person. So we knew we had something special.
Oh, that's perfect. So you guys really struck lucky as far as getting who exactly you wanted to play those roles. That's great.
It's better to be lucky than good.
Seriously. So one of our listeners, Fernanda, wanted to know, she said in episode three was really intense, and she wants to know, how do you work with children in scenes so strong? You know, Joey, I mean, the baby is just really in a lot of intense and crazy things going on. So how do you work with children? That was her
question.
Well,
we're super careful. Kyle is an extraordinary kid. He's a little bit older than what he plays. But not much. I mean, he's still a child, but he's incredibly well read. He's very smart. He asks a lot of questions, and I think he's a phenomenal actor. So we are just very honest with him. We're careful when we talk about things. We don't expose him on set. If you really look at it, he never sees anything bad. And when we're filming, we never have him on set if we're shooting something that we think would be disturbing for him. We're very protective of him. And in scenes, if he's there, if he's around, and we have a scene with a gun or a knife, we pretty much don't give him access. But he reads the scripts. He asks questions when he doesn't understand something, and we're very, very careful in how we handle it. And he knows we're making a television show. He understands that this is fantasy, but we're delicate, and his mom is there, and as far as handling how we interact with them, we certainly, it's not what you see on screen. That's all movie magic, so.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. So another listener, Jason, wanted to know, because I don't know if you're aware, but people are really feeding off the quote-unquote love triangle between
the best part.
Love it. Couple, but we're gauging that one of them is really kind of in love, and so people are really feeding off this triangle. And so Jason wanted to know, are we going to get any more like flashbacks to, a little bit more into their fake gay relationship or not really?
I don't want to spoil anything. You'll definitely get flashbacks, and it's part of our structure in storytelling. I think what you're seeing on the show in present day is there are three parts to the story. There's the origin, which is the flashback. So we're always going to take you back to show you how something was set up. Then there's present day, which is this is what you're experiencing now. And as we move forward, it potentially we can flash back to a time period that wasn't that long ago that would have happened while you were watching the show. So you'll definitely get flashbacks as far as what you're going to learn about the three at the farmhouse right now. I think you can watch and soon enough you'll know.
All right. Okay. Cool. Okay. Chia.
Oh, yeah. On a sort of related note to the discussion of the young boy, of Claire Matthews' son, this is sort of a silly question, but is there any chance in terms of the timeline, because it's not really certain to the viewers, that he is not actually Joe Carroll's son, but perhaps Ryan? Or have we watched too many soap operas?
You watch too many soap operas. I think actually if you do look at the timeline, if you go back to the pilot and dissect the timeline of when they met and look at the years and the flashbacks, you would be able to tell that he hadn't met them yet.
Okay.
When they had
so she already had the boy. We just didn't see him because he was a baby and nobody sees babies.
Right,
TV.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So he was already born when Ryan and Claire start hooking up. Okay, that's good to know. Now I can come up with other conspiracy
theories. We can put that to rest, Lucia. We can put that one to rest now. Thank you so much, Marco, for answering.
Yeah, that's why I love about shows like this. You know, you just can come up with crazy theories and just have fun. And I'm excited about a lot of the new characters popping up. Because so many people die on the show, I imagine there's going to be a lot of revolving cast members. And I know that Mike Coulter has been cast for a couple episodes as a character named Nick Donovan, and I really liked him on The Good Wife and Ringer. Can you hint or tease at all a little bit about his character or any other upcoming characters? I know you don't want to spoil, but just any kind of tease?
He's really good on the show. How's that? It's really hard to talk about the show because it's so much. I mean, I literally could say one thing and you're going to go, huh? Oh, that might mean,
right. And
I really don't want to because, like I said, it's part of the fun of enjoying a show like this. And I'll come back on and talk about things, you know, 7 episodes from now where you can go, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming, and we can talk about it. But it's hard to have these conversations so early in the series. Because, you know, we love as you said, you're enjoying the twists and turns and surprises. And I think that's a big part of enjoying a show like this. And I wouldn't want to spoil that.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I understand.
We went through the same thing on season 1 of Vampire Diaries. You know, people would say, like,
right?
I can't believe how many things happen in an episode. And I would get asked questions all the time about, in the pilot, you see a picture of Catherine, and people would ask me, and I'm like, I can't tell you. I can't tell you anything. And then, you know, they wait and wait and wait, and then, you know, it pays off eventually.
Yeah. Your work on Vampire Diaries was, I can't even begin. It was so brilliant. I love season 1 and season 2. So, man, that was great. Really excited about what's to come on the show.
Great. Well, I'm glad it's still going strong. It's a really, really great show.
Yeah, I would agree.
One more question I had, and, you know, I say this as somebody who really enjoys the show and finds it completely enthralling and entertaining, but, like, Carol, like his hero, Edgar Allan Poe, he asserts that there's nothing more beautiful than the death of a beautiful woman. And obviously so far on the show, you know, we've seen a number of beautiful women killed in kind of horrific ways. And do you guys worry at all that killing these women will be, like, perceived as gratuitous or exploitative? Like, how do you walk that line? What's sort of your approach to that aspect of the show?
You know, we're storytellers. It's not, it's not something we sit and debate and discuss. We just really talk about what is going to make the most compelling story, what are the character traits that that we think people will enjoy. And when I say enjoy, you know, it's a genre. There's certainly a genre to this. But, you know, look, Kevin, we had to answer a lot of questions about violence and our sensitivity to violence. And I think this is an adult show. We're storytellers. You know, I have kids. I wouldn't let my kids watch the show. People have to sort of use their judgment, and Kevin and I, we can separate, you know, we can talk all day about Joe Carroll and what his philosophy is on killing and the death of a beautiful woman, or we can have these conversations in story, and then we both go home and we're not desensitized to any of that. You know, we still would never in real life have any of those thoughts. So,
all right.
It's a tricky question to answer, but that's basically where I stand. You know, we I think there are lines that we don't cross, but we don't even go there. It's never like, let's not do that, it's too much. We just kind of come with our story and we do our thing.
And in terms of the gender aspect of the show, one thing I enjoy is that one of the serial killers is a woman, Emma. And so I feel like that, as a woman watching it, I do enjoy that there is that aspect as well. She has her own reasons and issues and history for why she wants to do this. So it's not just these men targeting these beautiful women necessarily. There's more complexity to it.
It's incredibly complex.
I enjoy that.
Well, good. And look, it is complex, and we don't, we certainly aren't discriminating. It's not like our serial killers are men going after women. What Joe says, the way he frames it, is really just he's pulling from Poe. You know, it's not necessarily the concept of the series. That's just, it's a moment in our story.
Yeah.
Well, I know you don't do spoilers, so I don't know about this question at all, but if Fox renews, which, seriously, I'm really hoping this happens because I can't imagine not seeing the show anymore, but can you tell us a little bit about what you envision possibly for a second season? Like,
here's what I can tell you, because I'm not going to tell you that specifically. But I can tell you that Kevin has worked out more than one season. We have a future worked out for the show. There are certainly things that will always change. There are things that are in flux. And all of that just comes with how the stories evolve. And you know, when you cast new people and suddenly you fall in love with a character and you're like, oh, I had intentions of that character to do this, but now I want them to do this because they're great. Things will always change, but there's not a sort of, you know, one season and that's it concept. There is a bigger picture to this. And again, that's hopefully what audiences will hook into, and they'll be constantly surprised with how it evolves and where it goes, even beyond season one and two.
Yeah, good. I was like, seriously, Fox, nothing.
Well, the ratings have been great. The ratings have been so great. You guys must have been so thrilled to, like, see how highly the premiere rated. And it's been doing awesome.
I always wanted to do better, so, you know, I wasn't doing cartwheels or anything. But you know, we're excited. And like I said earlier, we've had such tremendous support from the network. I can't say enough about, you know, how supportive they've been and how supportive the studio has been to let us make the show that we want to make.
It is it's an amazing show, and we are definitely hooked on it. Like they said at the beginning of the interview, we were hooked from the first episode, and we love recapping about it. And we really hope that a lot of the fans of the show will join us on our recaps too, because some of our theories are really out there, especially the girls and Ryan's baby. I told them it was. But I think with...
There's always a secret baby. Come on.
Well, has there been anything specific that has been a big surprise so far to you?
Let's see. So far?
I can't believe Emma killed her mom. Can I say that? I was like, what the hell? She killed her own mother. I don't know. I was very shocked. I wasn't shocked about the gay couple, though, because there was just something... I don't know, maybe it was a lingering look. I was like, ooh, I think maybe he likes him for real, you know, or something like that. But I don't know. There's been a couple of things. I've been jumping quite a bit.
The nanny. The nanny shocked me the most.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of twists and turns coming and a lot of really nice surprises. But, you know, again, it's sort of the fun of the show.
Exactly.
I hope people really enjoy that.
And like one of my theories is the new female FBI agent, I think she's in on, I think she's part of the following, but I know you can't answer that. But I think we're
I just took a bite of my hamburger.
I believe we are going to have, because you know, in May we have our Vampire Diaries month of May and we interview the entire cast and everything. I got a feeling we're going to have to pick a month out of the year and just interview everybody from the following.
All right, well, I'll try to round them up for you.
Hopefully they won't be killed off by then. I'm worried.
Well, I can say this, I won't be killed off by then, so you'll get me.
That's true.
Awesome, but thank you for joining us, Marcos.
All right, thank you, girls.
Thank you
again.
So
hopefully, I can do this again, and when we have more, when you have more information.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Have a great night.
All right, thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Now we are going to recap last Monday's episode.
Okay.
Great. Wait.
Do you think the FBI agents did it now? Seeing he took a bite.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm like.
But I mean, she did warn him about, like, the fact that she warned Hart Ryan about what the what's his name, the creepy guy, told her. Although she might have a stake in keeping him alive because he has to be alive to play the game, right?
Exactly.
So I guess, yeah, that's one of the things that's so tricky about the show is that somebody could help Ryan, and then that could end up being for selfish reasons, because part of the fun of this game for Carol seems to be keeping Ryan alive.
Right. Exactly. That is the whole thing about
the
keeping him alive.
You gotta understand.
Right. It's like a chess
match
for him.
Play
you know
this
what I'm
game.
Exactly. It's
and
like
why I think, okay, these are all the things why I think she's involved. First was the book. And then, yeah, he did give her a creepy little look, but she gave him the same creepy little look. And then her with the Poe, I'm going to call him Poe because I don't remember his name, the one that wore the mask, the wife.
Oh,
and then, yeah, okay, at the end when she's like, she lied to me, blah, 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 I just didn't believe that she was mad. And, I mean, that could have been the actress putting it out there, but...
Or the fact you already had that theory, so you're kind of looking at it like,
right.
But, you know, it could totally go that way. I could see it going either way. I could see it. It felt genuine to me, but at the same time, like, I would not, it would be believable to go the other way.
Yeah, and plus, you know, a lot of times, you know, TV series, they kind of, you know, set it up to where the audience is like, oh, I know, she's totally in on it. But in actuality, you know, let's be real, she's an FBI agent. She's what is it, the alternatives, whatever, cults or whatever her department is. It may be a mind game for her. You know, a lot of times those people love playing that game. You know, that's why they became, why they become FBI agents. So I think she may be playing a little hocus-pocus with him, to be honest. Like, you know, kind of reeling him in, maybe building a little trust, you know, sort of like Hannibal Lecter and Clarice Starling type thing. You know, I kind of get that feel. So I'm not going to say just yet that she's definitely a follower. I think she may be a player, not necessarily a follower. So, you know.
I don't know. He took a bite of his hamburger.
I like that at least. She's coming off as, like, smart, like, to have this knowledge. It's good, you know, because I don't want them to be too incompetent, because I did get a little frustrated when, you know, my TV boyfriend got, killed in the neck because he was not working with a partner. He's just in there all alone with the girl. It's like,
I know.
You have to, no federal agents would be working like
what
that. Like, he wouldn't just be like, because I know Sean Ashmore's out in the car with Bacon,
right.
And they're like, he's in there, but they weren't officially assigned. They were just out there because they were like worried. But it's like, there's no way the FBI is just gonna send some one guy, and it's like they keep on being like one guy in front of a room who gets like taken out, and then the girl gets kidnapped, you know, which has been driving me crazy. It's like work in pairs.
Right.
So anyway, I don't remember what my point was anymore.
I don't know. I think you're sad about the boyfriend, about the TV boyfriend.
I was. He's so cute.
Yeah.
But maybe now he'll do more. Because remember how we were wondering about Sons of Anarchy, whether he was going to have a role in the next season, since, you know, with Pope out of the
Oh, I think he's going to be big
now.
Next.
So it'd be it's kind of good he got killed off on this, because then maybe that's a sign he's still working on Sons.
Yeah, I believe he will have, by the way, I really believe he will have a huge role, just because of how they kind of set it up, where Jax kind of shook his hand and was like, yeah, and he was like, we're going to look into, you know, what happened, but at the same time, he was like, yay, I'm now number one, you know, whatever, so I think he's going to be a different player. But can we talk about how obvious that wife, Kessler's wife, was? Like, she was just doing the most at the police station, and I was like, watch. She's going to be involved. She's going to be a follower, because how weird was it when he called on her cell phone, and then she's like, I'm at the FBI. I was like,
yeah, you don't do that.
Like, who let, first of all, when you're interrogating someone, who lets their cell phone, like, be right there and available for them to pick up a call, you know? I mean, but
And then they found this so weird. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And then she's like, oh, I'm here. No, they would have told her, don't tell you.
Exactly.
I didn't know she was part of the following at that point, because I was still just thinking maybe she's just a crazy idiot. But then when they showed the first flashback where she gets stabbed, they show that, I could just tell the way he stabbed her looked like it was something they were doing on purpose.
Yeah.
So then as soon as I realized that was his attempt to kill her, was just him stabbing her in the stomach, I was like, no way, she's in on it. This is, like, as soon as I realized that was the injury she had gotten that put her in the hospital, I was like, oh, she's in on it. They're doing knife practice.
Right.
Like, I figured out the knife practice thing before they, like, totally revealed it, but...
Talking about the knife practice thing, that's like Kevin's thing. When, as soon as I seen that, I flashed back to Scream.
Oh my God, you're right. There was that whole thing. See, that's a good way to cloak the murderers, is if they are willing to get themselves stabbed. Oh, that's a good call.
And you know,
that.
Kevin and Scream, that goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Although, my biggest obsession right now is I'm obsessed with Nico Tortorella and his name, and it's my favorite name in the whole world, Nico Tortorella. Okay, I am so into their crazy, twisted threesome. It's like so weird, so twisted.
The foursome now.
It's so crazy.
Oh,
I love
God.
It.
With the lady you picked up from whatever little store or whatever.
Oh, that poor girl.
Yeah.
But I love the gay flashbacks. They were so great. I was just like,
okay.
Oh, so perfect.
Oh, my God. It was
Have
so
a little too much wine
then,
one night.
And then what did he say? He was like, oh, my God, your butt. He said something. What did he say when he was like, oh, look at you, blah, blah. Like, I don't know, goofball about something. I can't remember.
Yeah, they were making some cute little witty banter between them.
Before
exactly. They hooked up.
And then it was like, you heard, like, the background music, you know, in your head. I was like, uh-oh. When they kind of looked at each other, and then you get this whole, I don't know, Toni Braxton song. I don't know. But this lingering look, and I was like, oh, wow. I mean, you could kind of tell. And obviously, like I said, obviously, the dark-haired guy, what's his name? I know, you know, but what's his character's name again? What's his character's name?
Lucia?
In the love,
Wait,
in the love
which character?
Triangle. Yeah, in the love triangle, the dark hair. What's his name, the character name?
Oh, the dark-haired one. Here, let me look it up, because, you know, all I can think of
is Nico.
I'll have to look.
Smile.
Guys,
he's
I'll never
a
say
really
the wrong Ashmore, smile. Because I figured out a mnemonic device for this is what it is. Serial killers... hate alliteration and love Iceman. And that's my mnemonic device to never forget. So
you gotta tweet him that.
Really?
You have to tweet him that, because that is funny.
Oh my God, please.
Serial killers hate alliteration and love Iceman. So
please
that's
that. Please.
Try
him now, Lucia.
So now if I ever see, you know.
You tweet.
I'll know it's fun and I'll tell them. Hi, Aaron. Hi, I'll know the right one.
Oh, my God.
You go tweet that.
Can we talk about the, what's that follower's
okay,
name?
Okay, so, wait, here, I got the names real quick. So Nico Tortorella plays Will Wilson, which if that's not a serial killer name, I don't know what is.
What's his name?
Like, Will Wilson slash Jacob.
Oh, Will. Oh,
well, he wasn't,
wow.
Will
okay.
wasn't his real name. Jacob, I think, is his real name. Jacob is, but Will was, like, his fake name, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's, like, if her neighbor was Will Wilson, she should have known he wasn't fake. Come on. And then the other one is Paul, the dark-haired one. Who's
okay, Paul?
Who's all
who,
not liking the redhead and loving the other boy is Paul.
Oh my God!
So Paul and Jacob.
Paul,
now Paul,
Jacob, and Emma.
Paul
and then Emma. And that
Paul
actress
is
playing Emma is so good. Oh, she's so
she
good.
She's scary. She
yeah, exactly.
scares me.
She's so scary, but at the same time, she pulled off that like innocent, sweet look at the beginning. You know, like you're totally
yeah.
buying her. Like, her innocent girl next door act, and then
but
she's like,
she's
terrifying. Scary. Scene, like where she, oh my God, where she cut the guy's arm when she cut his arm, like that was just
but
like,
she,
whoa.
But she did it like what, bitch? Cut his arm and then
yeah,
like,
she like
you
she
know,
didn't even
like threw down the mic. It was like
even twice.
And then,
she's
then
like,
she
I killed my mom.
Look,
you're nothing.
But she gave him a look like, say something. Say something. I mean, and he just kind of was like, oh, shit, bitch. I like my hand. Oh, God, my arm's cut. But, yeah, I love her. And, oh, my God, you guys, just in case you haven't seen this, but if you go on my Twitter page, 80s Rebel Girl, you know how they have the recent images on the profile? They have a new photo shoot with them, and it is so hot. Have y'all seen the photo shoot of the threesome?
No.
No, but I watched that little video where they were, like, talking about it
right.
as, like, a little preview before the last one. But, yeah, I'll go on your
page. Lucia, please. It is so hot. It's like, I'm like, oh, my God, please. This is awesome. I was like, this is what I want between Clefin and Elena. Or, I don't like Elena. Rebecca's his sister, so that would be weird. I don't know, but I this is what I wanted from Vampire Diaries. So thank mm-hmm. you, Kevin and Marco, for giving me that whole little fantasy of two boys and a girl. Great, thanks. Best triangle ever.
Yeah, it's
now. With Paul.
It's the least annoying love triangle on TV. The least annoying love triangle on TV because it's just so twisted. You don't have to be in favor of any member of it. It's just all so awesome.
Now, with Paul going to the store and picking up this girl, which my dad, he was watching it last night. I made him watch all three episodes, and he was like, why are you women so stupid? And I was like, I'm smart. I watch this show, and I
yeah.
know if somebody comes up to me and says red wine or white wine, and they got beer in their hand, to walk the other way.
The only guy that could get away with doing that to me is Ryan Gosling. If he's not Ryan Gosling, I'm not going to get in a car with him. If he's a stranger, okay? Otherwise, no way.
And mine would be
Charlie
Chris
Hunnam.
Evans, but you won't get there.
If Charlie Hunnam gave you
okay,
a
okay, fine,
swag.
Charlie Hunnam. Although...
Yeah, that's swag. Let's be real.
Okay, fine.
But with this girl...
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's just, you know, I think it's part of just that, like he says, like the whole genre conventions are... You know, stupid sorority girls, stupid girls, like, they're just all, it's just, like, it's sort of a genre thing where that just seems to be so prevalent. It's like they're just playing on the tropes of the genre. Like, because if people were smart, then none of them would be getting killed. You know, they would look through their peephole. You know, they wouldn't just, like, let the murderers in, and they would ask for, you know, ID or a warrant before letting cops in, and they would, you know, have two cops, you know, working together instead of working all alone, and they wouldn't go in the woods, and they wouldn't do all these stupid things that caused them to get killed on TV, so then there wouldn't be any story. So, although...
Now, she is working at this store, and obviously he's on camera talking with her.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You've seen his face on his entire face on the camera now.
Yeah.
Now,
so I wonder how far he drove away to, like, how close is that location to where they are?
Exactly. And, you know, it's probably one of those little mom and pop stores where the daughter's working there and it's her family's store.
Ooh.
So they're going to obviously report that she's missing when she doesn't show up the next day for work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, has he totally screwed this up because he's a jealous boyfriend?
I guess he doesn't want it to be the third man out. He wants to have a partner and all their twisted things.
And are they going to get Joey, the little boy, to kill her? Seeing he's killing bugs and rats?
Oh, my God.
That was the scariest part of the whole episode. It was so disturbing. Like, can you imagine your child's been kidnapped and he's being trained to be a serial killer? Like, that poor mother. Like, I just...
Right.
That video was so stressful.
Yeah. It was like,
I'm sure they're not going to have him kill people.
I'm like, oh my God.
It'll be a gradual thing. They have to try to warp his morality first to kill the bugs. Like, he didn't even want to, you know, do that. So.
Wow. Okay, well, girls, I need to go because, you know how many calls I've gotten? I've gotten, like, 5 calls from my sister. I don't know what's going on.
Ooh.
And I texted her back, and I was, like, doing a radio show, but she's calling me from her job and other numbers I don't know, so I need to get off.
Okay, honey, yeah, that's fine. We can end the show and come back next Sunday.
Okay.
Sound good, girls?
That sounds good. And thanks, Marcos, again for coming on and taking out time, especially on a Sunday when you're with family. And Lucia, you did awesome, girl.
I felt so bad about asking the violence questions because I know they got a lot of those questions at TCA.
Yeah.
I know that the TCA channel was quite uncomfortable because about, but I don't have a problem with any of the violence. That's not my problem. I'm just curious about sort of how they approach it and you know. And in terms of the gender issues, you know, because, but yeah, so hopefully took it in a positive light because I love the show. So
yeah, it's good. I'm going to sit on my feet, I think.
Okay.
So, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Talk to you Sunday.
Okay. Talk to you Sunday.
So, guys, we're going to end our show this week on the VRO. We have a busy, busy, busy schedule. So if you follow us on @thevro.com, you will hear about all of our upcoming interviews. We have one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And
you
we will
schedule for all of this, Amy? Because, gosh, that's a lot of – there's so many different shows going on.
I know.
Schedule it all? Are you, like –
I'm the one that does it.
Oh, wow.
I do it all. I do everything.
Wow. High five to you. Virtual high five.
I am a busy, busy bee. And I kind of like the idea of, like, maybe mid-season doing a, like, a month. Like a following month like we do with the Vampire Diaries. What do you think?
I would love that.
That'd be awesome. And we have to get the right Ashmore. You really need to tweet him that.
Is he on Twitter?
He's on Twitter. He's
on Twitter. I should tell him about how I figured out how to say his name correctly. To remember his name correctly.
I love it. Okay, guys, we will be back Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow night, we have our Once Upon a Time recap, and we have an interview with a Mad Men actress. And we're going to be talking about her new movie. I think it's 100-something. I'll have to figure it out later. I'm really confused right now. But if you're watching the Grammys tonight, let me know who wins because I won't be watching.
Oh, the Grammys are the worst ever show. Don't watch.
Did you see that CBS actually had to send out a letter to all the agencies and all that, telling the women how to dress?
Oh, the Grammys are always just so
ridiculous.
They're just a mess.
I'm going to have to do that at our next VRO meeting.
Next time we all get together, I'm going to be like, okay, girls, you have to dress like this. See what my response is.
They're like, oh, yes, we actually do cover our genitalia when we leave the house. You didn't know that? That's pretty much normal activity for us.
Exactly. I only have one pet peeve. If you leave your house in your PJs, like if you're wearing your PJ bottoms, not sweatpants, your PJ bottoms, the one that's got SpongeBob on them or monkeys or something like that, and you're just in your Uggs and your PJs and your hair is up on the top of your head, go back to bed. Don't go to the grocery store like that. I don't even care if you're just running to go grab a pack of cigarettes. Don't leave your house in your PJs.
I feel like that's like an 18-year-old, you know, 17-year-old, 19-year-old activity, where it's like, if you're older than that, then you know better. But, you know, when you're, like, in college or whatever.
I know I've seen a 40-year-old woman today in her SpongeBob PJ.
Oh, wow.
And her Uggs.
At least she's comfortable.
Nope. Some jeans on. Thank you guys for listening to us. We're going to go.
Thanks. Bye.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?